Okay, we're in Megillah, and we're up to the Yud Tes Amud Beis. So now, we'll spend a few minutes introducing what we're about to learn, and then the learning will go much easier, I hope. We have a concept in Gemara and in Halacha that ideally what is said should be audible. That if you're going to bench, if you're going to say Shema, if you're going to make a blessing, if you're going to read the Megillah, you have to hear what you're saying. Lechatchila. Question is, if you didn't hear what you're saying, is that also lechatchila? Is that only kasher b'di'eved? Or is that pasul b'di'eved? So, we have a Mishnah in Brachos that tells us that Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that it's not good even b'di'eved. And then the Mishnah says, but the Mishnah begins by saying, Yotze, you have fulfilled your obligation. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. He says not. Now the question is, that first opinion, which is Rabbi Yehuda, that says if you reach Shema and you didn't hear it, you're Yotze. Does he hold that lechatchila or only b'di'eved? That's basically the question everything's going to revolve around. Now, this is applied also to Truma, let's say, where the Mishnah says that if someone cannot hear their own blessing, someone is deaf, and they own grain, they have to take off Truma, lechatchila they should let someone else take off the Truma. It's not lechatchila for them to make a blessing which they can't hear themselves. Then we have Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. You remember the story about him, right? Rabbi Shimon, who came in order to get rich, came to learn Torah, that's why they called him Ben Pazi. We learned this story. So he's of the opinion that ultimately he changed his mind. He said Torah is worth more than all the gold in the world. So Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, he's of the opinion that a person who can't hear his own blessing may take off Truma even lechatchila. And the Gemara wants to align him. He's going to be the thorn in the sugyo. How do we align him? We have a brisa that says, if you don't hear your own benching, if you're going to bench in your heart, that's only good b'di'evit. So who's that? If you're going to say that's Rabbi Yehuda, who says b'di'evit it's okay, but then the chatchila it's not okay, then who's Rav Shimon ben Pazi going to go with? Rav Shimon ben Pazi says, even the chatchila you don't have to hear your own blessing. A deaf person may take off truma, even the chatchila. Yeah? So that's really where we're going to dance around, that question. We begin with the understanding that we're starting now our sugya with the understanding that according to Rabbi Yehuda, lechatchila you should hear what you're saying, but b'di'eved it's kosher. And that way Rabbi Yehuda could be the Tana of our Mishnah. Now the Gemara starts. B'mayukimta. You have it, we're on Yud Tes Amud Beis, about 9 lines from the bottom. The first word on the line is Ukimte, right above the parentheses. You have it? So, the Talmud asks, Bema Yukimto, with what did you establish our Mishnah? Ke Rabbi Yehuda, you said our Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And then Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah hold with the Eved. Then Rabbi Yehuda only permits one to do things b'di'evet if he can't hear it. But lechatchila he says you do have to hear what you're saying. Elaho ditoni Rabbi Yehuda b'di Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. But the braisa that Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, quoted, Cheresh amdaber v'ino shomat torem lechatchila, a person who is deaf, but he could talk. So that's not the usual deaf person we're talking about in the Shas. But this man is only deaf. He's not mute. So then, Torem lechatchila, he may take off Truma lechatchila, even though he won't hear his own blessing. Mani, who's going to be the author of that Mishnah? That Mishnah says, even lechatchila, you don't have to hear what you're saying. Rabbi Yehuda, if you'll tell me that Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda didn't allow it lechatchila. Rabbi Yehuda said, Di'evedin lechatchila lo. Only b'di'eved may a person take off Truma or say something that he can't hear. But lechatchila not. Rabbi Yossi, if you'll tell me that's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, that doesn't work. The Eved Namilo. Rabbi Yossi doesn't even allow it to be the Eved. Belamai. So the Gemara says, okay, so what do you want to say? You want to say, Rabbi Yehuda v'afil lechatchila? That Rabbi Yehuda allows you, even lechatchila, not to hear what you're saying? That's not going to work either. Meaning you're trying to tell me, if not for you, everything would be okay. If you weren't the maker of Yehuda, the author of our Mishnah, then I would have been okay. Then I would have said that Mishnah, that brisa about Truma, is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Really? You wouldn't have a problem without me, says the Gemara. Not true. Because what are you going to say? Rabbi Yehuda holds, even lechatchila, you don't have to hear what you're saying. Where are you going to allocate the brisa that says that only b'dieved? There is a brisa that goes with that opinion. Titania, for the brisa says, a person should not bench in his heart. And if he did, he was yotzei b'dieved. Money. If you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda permits it even lechatchila, so who's going to be the author of this brisa that says it's only good b'dieved? Lo Rabbi Yehuda ve'lo Rabbi Yosi. It's not Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yehuda, we're saying now, we're trying to say, the Gemara is saying, you're saying that Rabbi Yehuda permits it lechatchila. Rabbi Yossi doesn't even permit it b'dieved. So who's going to be this brisa that says it's only good b'dieved? Answers the Gemara. Leolam, the Gemara says, if that's what bugs you, that I can answer. Leolam, Rabbi Yehuda v'afil lechatchila. Really, Rabbi Yehuda permits one lechatchila not to hear what he's saying. Ve'lo kasha. And this isn't the question, the fact that you have a quote that seems to say that it's only b'dieved. Hadidei haderabei. There's a, by truma, that it's permitted even lechatchila. That's Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion. By Birkas HaMazon, that it says lechatchila, you have to hear it, but b'dieved it's okay if you didn't. That's going to be Rabbi Yehuda's Revi, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. D'tanya, for we have a brisa that says, Rabbi Yehuda omel mishum, you remember the famous mishum, Rabbi Yehuda quotes Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, HaKoreit Shema Tzarich Sheyashmi'a Leozno, one who reads Shema should make it audible to his ear, Shenemal's the verse says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and we understand from that, Hashmi'a Leoznecha, make audible to your ear, Mashata Motzi Mipicha, what you're emitting from your mouth. Rabbi Meir omer ha'shanuchim tzavcha yom ha'levavecha achar kavanat ha'lev inin ha'dvarim. Rabbi Meir says, no, says these words should be on your heart, the Torah wants your heart. So the Gemara says, wait a second, hey, that's interesting, you brought me Rabbi Meir. Hashtadatit lehachi, now that we've come here, afilu tem Rabbi Yehuda kerabbi svir alei, we could go back to our original understanding. Rabbi Yehuda is like his Rebbe. Rabbi Yehuda holds the chatchila, you should hear it. If you didn't, b'dieved, it's kosher. Ve'adetani, Yehuda b'reid Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Rabbi Meiri. And what was the thorn? What was the problem here? The problem was Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rav Shimon ben Pazi, who had a quote that said, lechatchila, you don't have to hear it. I'll tell you who that is. That's going to be Rabbi Meir. No problem. We have a third opinion in the Shas. That price is Rabbi Meir, and everything's Shalom Al Yisrael. Why is the Gemara so intent on coming back to this pshat? Because the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara wants this Mishnah to fit with the Rabbi Yehuda of the halacha, which is that lechatchila, you have to hear it, and b'dieved, it's kosher if you did. We said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda machshir bakatan. Rabbi Yehuda says, a minor, if he reads the Megillah, that's kosher. Tanya. We have the following brisa. It's a tosefta over here. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, katan hayiti. I was a minor, says Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloi. Vekiriti alemala merabbi Tarfon miskenim belud. And I read it in front of Rabbi Tarfon and the elders in Lod. Amru lo, en mevi'in raya min hakatan. You think you remember what happened when you were a minor? That's no proof. Tanya, Amar Rebbe. So now we bring another brisa. Rebbe says, Katan hayiti v'kiriti alemalam Rabbi Yehuda. I was a minor, and I read it in front of Rabbi Yehuda. Amru lo, en mevin raya min hamatir. That's no proof. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that a minor is qualified. So yeah, he allowed you to read it in his shul. Very good, that's no proof. V'leim gula en mevin raya min hakatan. Why didn't they answer him the same way they answered Rabbi Yehuda? That you were a minor then. We don't accept your proof from when you were, what you remember happened when you were a minor. Answers the Gemara, Chada ve'od kamule. Chada Dekataneita. Their claim was not only that, meaning firstly and secondly, meaning not only were you a minor and you can't bring proof from a time that you remember as a minor, the Oden, not only that, Afiru Gadolaita, even if you were an adult and you saw a minor reading in front of Rabbi Yehuda, we wouldn't accept that as proof that that's the halacha, because Ein Mevin Raya Min HaMatir, you can't bring the proof from Rabbi Yehuda's shul. He's the one that permitted it, so we don't accept proof that in his shul they did it. That doesn't mean that's the halacha. That means he and his shul enacted in accordance with his opinion, but that doesn't prove that that's the halacha.
This is part of the old Kamarle. Is this a common, we see this often in Shas?
Yeah, it's a common thing. Chada Be'od.
Okay, so I just wanted to leave another, there was another.
Yeah. Okay. Mishnah. Ain't Torin Tamgila velo malin velo tovelin velo mazin. All of the following things aren't done until Nates. What's Nates? Nates is when you see the ball of the sun, when you actually see the ball of the sun.
A full ball?
Nope.
Just the first. So we read this in
first Mishnah of the Yeah, yafeh. So Nates Nates is like. Rashi has an interesting way of describing it here. So, until Netzachama, you may not do the following things. The following things we're going to read in our Mishnah. Remember this Mishnah. It has a lot of halachic applications. The following things are only permissible by day. Day technically begins with Alosa Shachar, which is either 72 or 90 minutes before Nates. The Mishnah says, rabbinically, they told us, wait till Nates. Wait till you really see the ball of the sun. Remember, today, we have a calendar. Our calendar says, Nates is 5:58. You say, okay, I'll look at my watch, 72 minutes before that, I know when Alos HaShachar is. The rabbis, they didn't have clocks, they didn't have watches, they didn't have calendars. Everything worked on what you saw. So Alos HaShachar was something tangible, was something you could actually see if you were out there. Now you could understand that if you have a full moon, you have a guy who thinks, oh, it's Alos HaShachar now it starts getting light. Another guy says, hey, no difference between now and 5 minutes ago, wait, another 10 minutes. Go outside. Look 72 minutes before Nates and see what difference you can tell. Now in the summer you can actually tell a difference here in Israel. Also in America. But in the winter, no difference. 72 minutes, what 72 minutes? It's pitch black. Nothing changes. So okay, that needs work. But at any rate, the rabbis made a rabbinic institution. On all these things, wait till you see the sun. Wait till Nates. So, Ein Korin Tamgilah, we don't read the Megillah for day. Vilomalin, nor do we circumcise. Circumcision is only kosher by day. Guys, if you had it by night, let me know. It's not kosher. Vilotovlin, nor do we immerse. Do we go to mikvah, zav? Remember, a guy had a flow, a tummy mace. They have to go to mikvah on the seventh day. So, the Torah teaches us it must be day. The seventh day. Bilomazin, nor do we sprinkle the waters of the red cow. V'chen shomeret yom keneged yom. You remember shomeret yom keneged yom, the woman who's during her period when she's supposed to be clean, the 11 days of shomeret yom keneged yom. She sees spotting. She has to wait one day of purity. Then she goes to mikvah. Lo titvalet shetanitzachama. She doesn't go to mikvah either till you actually see the ball of the sun. All of these, technically, biblically, they're kosher from Alos, but the rabbis wanted us to wait. But if you didn't listen to them, okay, they didn't disqualify it. They said, okay, you shouldn't have done it. Nu to you, but it's kosher nonetheless. They didn't go all out against you. They could have said we disqualify it, but they didn't. They said if you did it too early, it's still kosher. If you did it too early from Alos, right? Before Alos, it's not kosher. The Torah says it's not kosher. Okay. Yes, sir.
Is the Gemara going to take up the difference between the Lord Tovlin and the Lord Titpol?
Yeah.
That's a difference, right?
Right. Okay. Lotovlin, it seems to encompass everyone. For some reason, The Mishnah points out her specifically. The question is, why is she singled out? We said Lo Tovlin, we encompassed everyone. Then you come and you tell me about her. Why? Okay, we'll get there. So the Gemara says, where'd you get this from? That Megillah must be read by day, by night. Domar Kro, for the pasuk says, Vayimi Melech Nisgim Nasim, Bayomin, Balayla Lo, by day, Vayimi Melech. You have to read the Megillah by day, not by night. Maybe you'll tell me this disproves Rabbi Shuv and Levi. Rabbi Shuv and Levi taught you got to read the Megillah by night and read it a second time by day. This Mishnah seems to say, and we brought a derivation, that it must be read by day. Seems to be to the exclusion of night, says the Gemara. No. Kiketani, what was the Mishnah referring to? Ad Yom. Regarding the day reading, that day reading is disqualified by night. You can't say, well, you know, I'm up late anyways. It's almost sunrise, 2 hours before sunrise, 3 o'clock in the morning. No, it's past midnight. I'll read the Megillah a second time. I'll be Yotzi for tomorrow. Doesn't work that way. Gotta wait till sunrise. So the day reading must be done by day. Velo malim. So the Mishnah says you can't circumcise by night. Tichtibu b'yom ha-shmini imol. On the eighth day, you do a circumcision by night, it's disqualified. Could be the kid's 1 month old, his eighth day passed. It still must be done by day. Could be the guy's a ger. He's 1 day old. Gotta be done by day. Velo tovelin, velo mazin, nor do we go to mikvah. Nor do we sprinkle the ashes, the water with ashes from the red cow, dichtiv, because the pasuk says, Vizator alatameh bayom ha-shivi'i, the pure one sprinkles on the defiled one on the seventh day. So you see, the sprinkling must be done by day. Ve'itkish tvila la'azayah, and in the end it says, V'rachatz b'mayim, and he will immerse himself in water, he will go to mikvah. So we understand that the pasuk put both concepts together to teach us a hekesh, to teach us there's an alignment between these two concepts. Both must be done by day. And from this we also derive that a zav and a zava, their tevila must be done by day. Let's do a quick review. A woman has her cycle. She has her period. So let's say the first of the month, Sunday, her period begins. Torah says, biblically, we're not talking about halacha. What does the Torah say? 7 days, she's a nida. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, she's a nida. Comes Shabbos afternoon, she's finished her period, she checks that she's all clean, and then she goes to mikvah, and fine, finished. Okay, that's biblical. It's not halacha, but it's biblical. Now she enters 11 days that are called 11 days of ziva, of flow. Meaning, come Sunday, from Sunday until next week, Wednesday, she's going to have 11 days in which we say during those 11 days, she has, if she sees 3 days straight, she's a zava. She has to count 7 days. 7 days, she checks herself to make sure she's clean. We treat every nida like a zava. That's why at the end of her 7 days of seeing today, she'll have to take another 7 days in which she checks that she's pure, and only next Shabbos she'll go to mikvah. But that's not our discussion here. We're dealing with the biblical concept at this point. So after the first 7 days, after her nida cycle, you have 11 days, biblically, during which time, if she sees 3 days straight, so then we say she's a zava, she's a woman who has an unusual flow. She must check herself for 7 days to make sure she has 7 days straight clean. Then she goes to mikveh and she brings a karban. What happens if she sees 1 day? She goes to mikveh, matzei Shabbos, she's pure, everything's dandy. And then come Monday, suddenly she has a feeling, ow! She has a feeling inside, it hurts. She goes to the bathroom. Up, a little bit of blood came out. So she sees this little drop of blood, but she felt it come out, so she is now defiled. Tameh. But she saw only 1 day. So she is called a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. So she watches herself, and tomorrow she goes to mikvah. Okay? Today she saw, she's defiled. Tomorrow, she'll make sure she's clean the whole day and she'll go to mikveh. Now, says the Gemara, Pshita. Obviously, she can't go to mikveh till the next day. So the next day, Maishna Shomelt Yom, Keneged Yom, Mikol Chavei Tvilot. Why would I think she's different? Like Adam pointed out in the Mishnah, every Tvila is supposed to be done by day. So why do I think she's different? Itztich, says the Gemara, no, I needed to mention her separately. I might think that when the Zava sees her one spot, then she's going to be like a Zav, like a man who sees a flow one time. And that man, he can go to mikveh right away. And the man who had ziva, which is some kind of flow, some kind of discharge, the Torah tells us his halacha is like a man who emits sperm, a baal keri. Ma baal keri tovel bayom, aina milit vil bayom. I would think just like a baal keri, a man he was with his wife, he was intimate. In any form that a man emits sperm, he's called a baal keri. Now, he could go to mikveh anytime he wants. Let's say he was with his wife in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, or at noon, 12 noon. He could go to mikveh at 1 o'clock. He leaves the house, goes to mikveh, or they had mikvahs in their own home. A minute after he's been with his wife, he could technically go to mikveh. So, being that a zav is compared to a baal keri, just like a baal keri doesn't have to wait till tomorrow, he could go to mikveh right away, and then at sunset he's completely pure. So too is Zav. Ma baal keri tovel bayom, hayna milit vil biyomei. Maybe he should also go on his day. Veha bima malomatzi tavla. And the woman, she's stuck. She can't go on that same day. Tichtiv kolimei zova kemishkav nidata yiyela. Veilelia miat levit miktzat shimur v'titbol. Maybe the Torah tells me that throughout her period of ziva, she's supposed to be like a nida. So, shomeret yom, keneged yom, this woman, she has to watch the full day. So I'd say, okay, fine. She saw a drop today. She waits. She should be like a zav. Just like a male who has a discharge, he could go to mikveh today because he's like a baal keri. She should also. But the Torah tells me she can't. She has to wait. So she waits out the day. But maybe once part of the night began, so she's already watched part of the day corresponding to the day, let her go to mikveh. It's a new day, right? When nighttime comes, so a new day started. She watched the beginning of the day, she'll go to mikveh, and then she'll watch the rest of the day. Technically, biblically, she has to wait the next 24-hour period, till the next night, to make sure she's pure. Meaning, if on Sunday, we said, Matzah Shabbos, she went to mikveh. Monday, 10 o'clock in the morning, she's baking bread. Suddenly she feels a pain inside her stomach, a special pain. She knows something's coming out. Goes to the bathroom, sees the smallest drop of blood. Zava. Okay. Now, what does she do? So she's impure. We say she waits till tomorrow. She has to wait a day corresponding to a day. Today she felt it, so tomorrow she has to wait out the day. If tomorrow she'll be completely clean on Tuesday, so then Tuesday night she's pure. But she doesn't have to wait till Tuesday night to go to mikveh. Technically, she could go to mikveh once part of Tuesday has begun. She has fulfilled her obligation of Shomeret Yom. She's going to continue watching the day till the end of Tuesday, but she could go to the mikveh in the morning. When sunset will settle in, she'll be tahor. So I might think, wait a second, why does she have to wait till the daytime period? Technically, she's just like a male zav. A male zav, he had his discharge. He could go to mikveh a minute afterwards, right? He just has to wait out the period. She can't do that. I have a special derivation. So I won't let her go to mikveh on Monday. So I have to make her go on Tuesday. But who said I have to wait till Tuesday day? Once 5 minutes of Tuesday night came in, she's already watched part of Tuesday. Just like you don't make her wait till the end of Tuesday night to go to mikveh, let her go on the eve, the night that begins Tuesday. Let her go to mikveh then. Who said she has to wait out till the day? That night, right. The night between Monday and Tuesday, right.
If it happens to be at night, we would have thought because the heck is it's off, she would be able to go to
mikveh. Correct. That's why the Mishnah had to single her out. Kamash Malon. That's what the Mishnah came to teach us. Kevan de Baya Spira. Moshe, take your time, whenever you're ready. No problem. Write it out. This way you'll be able to review. We're learning in order to know. That's the way to know. Write your notes. Okay? So, again, we said, why does the Mishnah have to single out the woman and tell us that she goes to mikvah by day? We said people who go to mikvah have to go by day. All the people who biblically must go to mikvah, Zav, Zava, they all go by day. So why is she singled out, this Shomeret Yom? So the Gemara says, because I might have thought that it's enough for her to wait a minute into the night. And once that minute passes, so technically she's already started her count of that one day corresponding to the day of defilement, and then she should be able to go to mikvah at night. She'll wait out the day to see that she's fully pure, but just like she doesn't have to wait till the day finishes to go to mikvah, maybe she doesn't even have to wait till daytime hours. Maybe she could go within that night. Kamash Malon, so that's what the Mishnah teaches me that doesn't work. Why really doesn't it work? Because we say the Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom is really a miniature Zava. Meaning, you have a Zava Gdola. You have a woman who saw 3 days straight. She needs a count of 7 days. This woman needs a count of 1 day. But her 1 day is like one of the other seven. So, Kamash Malon, what the Mishnah taught me is, Kevande Baya Sfira. Because technically she needs to count. You'll tell me, wait a second. She's not counting anything. It's day one and it's over. Right. But it's fashioned after the count of the 7 day count. And Svira bi mamahi, and the count must be by day, so too her tvila must be by day. We have a derivation. The Torah says, V'sofra lo shivas yomim. She has to count 7 days. After she's finished counting 7 days, she could go to mikvah. So too this woman must count day one, and then go to mikvah. When do we count? Shivat yomim. You count days. Days is after sunrise, is after alos. So that's why this zava, she has to wait till the day. And then, technically, she says day one, and then she could go to mikvah. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, V'chulan she'asu mishalam u'dashachar kasher. All the things we stated in the Mishnah, if they didn't wait till nates, if they did it from alosa shachar, from the time the darkness starts lifting, which we said is either 72 or 90 minutes before sunrise, it's kosher because technically day begins then. So we have an evolvement from night into day. You have night from Tzeisa Kochavim, from when three small stars can be seen. That's for sure night. Then throughout the dark hours it's night. And then you have the period of nates. You see the ball of the sun, that's for sure day. Now, 72 minutes or 90 minutes before that, technically, biblically, we're saying in our Mishnah, that is day. But really, there's an evolvement. The light is coming up. The sun is coming up. So the Gemara questions, how do you know that day really begins before you see the ball of the sun? Just at alos ha-shachar, it's just starting to stop. It's not even starting to be light. It's starting to be alos ha-shachar, the removal of the pitch-black darkness. That's already day. Where'd you get that from? So the Gemara says, how do you know that day begins at Alosa Shachar? Omar Rava, Rava explained, the Omar Kro, because the Pasuk says in Bereishis, Vayikra Elokim La'or Yom. What does that mean, God called the day, God called the light day? No, it's not talking about La'or, the light. La me'iruba, that period in which it's becoming more and more light, ka'oyom, God called that period already day. La'or isn't a reference to the sun, the light. God said, sometime, your day. No. From the period that it becomes lighter outside, there's more light, that's already day. So the Gemara says, wait a second. According to that, let's go to the end of the verse. It says, V'lachoshech kara laila. And God called night to darkness, elamata. So now that you're telling me that, V'lachoshech kara laila, when the verse says God called darkness night, L'machshich uva kara laila, the second it starts getting dark, you'll tell me that's night? Hakayim elan dat set kochvim lav laila hu. We seem to have clear that until Tzeis HaKochavim, it's not night. Right? Clear? So from this pasuk, you can't say that's what we're deriving it from. But rather, Rabbi Zera taught the sources from here. The pasuk describes in Nehemiah that they were working from morning to night. And let's skip to the second pasuk. The second pasuk says, "Ve'omer." You see the second pasuk? Ve'ayulanu alayla lemishmar. The nighttime was for watching. We had to watch that the kutim don't come and destroy what we work. And by day, we used to work. So you see, the pasuk describes the period in which they worked as hayom milacha. The day was the time we worked. And then, let's go back to the first pasuk. The pasuk describes, when did they do the work? What period is going to be called hayom milacha? The day is when we did the work. That period is v'anachnu sim bimlacha. When did we actually do the work? V'chetziyam machzikim b'machim. Half the people had to be standing on guard for fear of attack. Ne'alot ha'shachar tzeta kochavim. From alos to tzeis ha'kochavim. So you see that the pasuk describes what hours were they working? From alos till tzeis. And the pasuk says v'ayulanu alayla mishmar v'ayom milacha. The period, that aforementioned period from Alos to Tzeis that we were working, that was the Yom. We were working by Yom. So you see that Yom is from Alos to Shachar. The Gemara says, wait a second. My Vomer, why'd you need the second Pasuk? The first Pasuk seems to prove it. So the Gemara says, no. The first Pasuk only tells you they're working then. V'chi teima, and let's say you'll want to argue, Mishalamu da Shachar lav yamama, u'michal v'shim shalelia. Maybe the day does not begin from Alos, and the night really begins from the time the sun goes down, not from Tzeis HaKochavim. Ve'inu, but they, makdimi u'machshechi, they worked early hours and late hours. They were working overtime. The fact that they were working from Alos till Tzeis, that's not a proof that the day is from Alos to Tzeis. Maybe they were working overtime. Tashma, that's why I need to bring proof. Ve'ulano alayla mishma v'ayom melacha. The night was used for watching, the day was used for work. That's the proof that daytime begins with Alos and ends at Seis. I'm with you, yeah. 1 second. Did you understand what we just read?
I'm going to ask.
Okay.
So the first pasuk teaches us that work, and it gives us the measure of time that does work. The second pasuk teaches us that work is day.
That description of time is day, yeah.
So, the second one teaches us that work
was done by day.
It was done by day. So yeah. we connect the two ideas to make this measure of time is the measure of day.
Right. Excellent. Yeah. Okay. Should we move forward? See if we can finish the chapter, or should we try to go drop deeper? Let's go deep. Yeah. Okay. There's a concept we discussed a few months ago. When God created time. So there are concepts of time that need definition. What is the minimum amount of time considered biblically? What is the smallest measure of time that the Torah takes into account? Fair question, right? How accurate does the Torah want us to be biblically? We know rabbinically we go down to the minute. Maybe even to the second. But biblically, what's the minimum measure of time? Okay, it's a discussion. Chazanish, Rav Yonson Eibshitz. When we discuss time, is Tzeis HaKochavim a siman? Is it a sign, an indicator of when is night time? Or is it a sibah? Is it a cause? Is night, is that a sign? You want to know when is nighttime? That, hey, you could tell, look at the stars. Or do we say that is a cause? Give me 1 second, I got to catch Mr. Towers.
Guys, give me 1 second.
We based the time off of the decay of assessing that.
I've been looking for you for days.
Can I join you for the last few minutes?
You are always invited to join us.
The cycles of assessing that. I thought we based time nowadays off the cycles of something of the decay of assessing that.
Okay. Cycles of?
Some kind of atom that decays or something. Decay of assessing that.
Ah, that's scientific measurements. We always look for constants, right? That's a measurement of, right. Okay, it's like the wavelength is how much is a meter? That's okay. So there are certain questions we have to take into account when we speak about time. Now, when God created time, did God create two types of time, day and night, and nothing else? And everything else is human. Meaning, we know, the Mishnah discusses, and we have halachos that revolve around the period of time called Bein HaShemashot, twilight. Where we don't know, is it day, is it night, is it in between? Is that a man-made limitation? You know, us human beings, we're limited. We can't know every second when it's day or night. So we have to have this safek called Bein HaShemashot. Is Bein HaShemashot a human limitation? Or is it godly? Did God create a period of time called Bein HaShemashot? Meaning, is there ever a moment that if I asked God, what's the time now, God would say Bein HaShemashot? Or do we say, by God, no such concept exists? Day, night. Human beings, you've got a problem. You can't get it down to the moment you have Bein HaShemashot. What do you guys think? Think for a second. Proofs. Again?
It's like the blink of an eye.
Yeah, but does that moment exist? According to Rav Yossi, that moment does exist. Rav Yossi says, Bein HaShemashot is a blink of an eye. But it exists. There is a moment of Bein HaShemashot. Now, is that a human moment? Is that because of our human limitations, or does God work within that moment? So, we discussed this already. You guys remember or you don't remember? One of the proofs we brought was the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. The following things were created Bein HaShemashot. What Bein HaShemashot? God doesn't have Bein HaShemashot. So you could say God's talking from our perspective, but that seems to be Dohak. Our Gemara seems to be proving in both directions. On the one end, the Gemara took great care in the fifth and sixth line, you'll see, the Gemara says, do you want to tell me lamachshichu ba kara laila, that as it gets darker, that's already called night? Hakayim alan da'at tzeta kochavim lav lailahu. But we know that until tzeta kochavim, it's not night. The Gemara didn't say it's day. You notice that? The Gemara worded it differently than we would have thought. The Gemara, we would have thought the Gemara should have said, we know till tzeis hakochavim it's day. Ah, the Gemara didn't say that. Seems to be the Gemara is taking Bein HaShemashot into account as a godly concept, not a human limitation. Yeah? So that's point number one. On the other hand, the Gemara seems to say that Hayom, when is Yom? Me'alosa Shachar at Tzeis HaKochavim. Right? The Gemara calls that period as Yom. We got time. Okay. So the end of the Gemara seems to prove one way. The beginning of the Gemara seems to prove the other way. Both proofs can be disproved. And you could say Lav Dafka on both of them. You could say that the Yom is a general thing, like Yehuda is going to tell us, the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the first Shoresh, that the Torah and Chazal will sometimes use general terms to describe, you know, the most of the period between Alos and Tzeis is day, so we could call it all day. So that's not a strong proof. And by the same token, you could say the earlier Gemara is not a proof. that lav davka, lav lailahu is just a way of saying it. Okay. But we should be aware. You know, we're dealing with a very basic sugya. Our Gemara is dealing with a very basic concept. When is day? When is night? So we should remember there's more to talk about, and we have to take note as we learn the Gemara. What's the Gemara telling us about those in-betweens? I will add one more point. There's a Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos that says that just like night is an evolvement, between day and night you have twilight, so too day is an evolvement. Between night and nates, this period between alos and nates, we find in the Gemara and Brachos is in between. You could read Shema and Biyotze, the nighttime Shema, during that period. How does that work? I thought you said from alos is day. So you could say Shema is a different din, Shema is a din in Bikumecho, Shema isn't a din in day. But the Rabbeinu Yonah goes this route. He says, between alos and nates is like a twilight. In certain respects it's day, in certain respects it's night. It's not exactly day like from nates onward. Meaning from our Gemara we would get the feeling, alos is day, finished. Alos is day, rabbinically they said you might miss the minute, you might get it off, so you might be off when you think alos is, so wait till nates. But the Rabbeinu Yonah and Bracha seems to go not that way. Okay, back to our Gemara, we're up to the Mishnah. Kol hayom kasher likriyat hamgilah. Now that we discussed when does day begin for all these different halachos, now the Mishnah continues and says all day is kosher for reading the Megillah, milikriyat halel, and for reading halel. So technically we know zrizin makdim in the mitzvah, so a person should do a mitzvah as early as possible. But nonetheless, if you didn't do it as early as possible, you have all day. Vilitkiyat shofar, and for blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Vilintilat lulav, and for shaking lulav on Sukkis. Vilitvilat musafin, and for praying musaf. Vila musafin, and for the musaf sacrifice. Vilividuya parim, and the different cows that were brought as atonement, either when the majority of the congregation sinned. You remember the story with Ephraim Shaver?
Yeah.
You guys remember that? We gave an example for Parah Elam Davar. The high court ruled that everyone could use a certain shaver, then it turned out that shaver is biblically prohibited, everyone was using it, and then that's an example of a case where we'd bring a sacrifice. There's also Parko and Amashiach. So these are things where we have to do vidui. We have to confess over the cow. Vele vidui ma'asel. And we also have when we bring the miser, so we have something that's declared, you know, God, I've done everything you've asked me to. That's also called vidui. Vele vidui yom kippurim. And on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol does vidui. לסמיכה, לשחיטה, לתנופה, להגשה, לקמיצה, להקטרה, למליקה, לקבלה, להזיה. All the different functions of a sacrifice, which are leaning on it, smicha, shechita, sacrificing it, tnufa, waving it in front of God, hagasha, bringing it by the altar, kmitza is the correspondence of shechita in the flower offering. Just like you have these actions in an animal offering, on a flower offering you have their correspondences. Kmitza is taking it, then afterwards everything else you do like a regular offering, but taking out the kmitza, komet is this finger, kmitza is taking these three fingers, the middle three fingers, that much you take of the flower sacrifice, and that's what's burnt on the altar. So kmitza, haktara, the burning of the sacrifice, melika is the special way in which the kohen would slaughter the birds from the back of the neck, kabbalah, receiving the blood, hazayah, sprinkling the blood, all these different functions of the sacrifices could be done all day long. Lashkayat sota, giving the sota to drink the special waters. Larifat ha'igla, if a person was found murdered, so they had a whole procession of slaughtering a young calf from the neck down, from the nape of the neck. Vilitarat ha'mtzora, and for the purification of the mitzora. So these mitzvahs could be done throughout the daylight period. Kol ha'layla kasher l'ktzirat ha'omer, all night is kosher for harvesting the omer, v'laktarat chalavim ve'ivarim, and for the offering of the fats and the limbs of the sacrifices. All night long you could bring them up. Once the prime part of the sacrifice was done, those could be done later. Zeh ha'klal, this is the general rule. דבר שמצוותו ביום, כאשר כל היום. Something that the mitzvah is to perform by day, It's kosher to do all day long. Anything that the mitzvah is by night is kosher all night long. And we are out of time. Gentlemen, you know, let's do the first section. No, okay, so we have to talk. We have to set up a time to finish the chapter and go out for pizza together. And our listeners are invited too if they want to email me.